the teaching ministry of North Coast Church in Vista, California. In this series titled The Company of the Committed, we'll be looking at the seven traits of highly effective Christians. So join us now as Pastor Chris Brown begins today's message.
So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 15, pull out your sermon note sheets, and turn off your cell phones and pagers. Thank you.
Dear God, thank you for all you've given us. Thank you for just the way you've blessed us. Thank you for this day. Just give us what we need to get through it. Just be with my friends, my family, my life, God. It's totally in your hands, your control. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. I just feel empowered, just kind of rejuvenated after that. Or do I? Have you ever prayed and wondered if you ever connected with anything? Was there anyone even listening? Let me show you what I mean.
How's it going? Doing good? Having a good day? Got good plans? Good stuff going on? Good. Glad life's treating you well. Good. Good. That was meaningful. I felt like we connected. Hey, how's it doing? Pretty good. Like church? Got something from it? Good stuff. Got good plans for the weekend? Things going well? Good. Pray for me, man. Yeah, it really felt like we connected, didn't it? Hope that wasn't a visitor. Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
doing good?
How are you?
Good.
We're great. How are you?
Yeah, great. 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 Great stuff.
Thank you.
It just doesn't work, does it? Kind of feel like you're missing something. Hey, how's it going? Good time at church? Things going well? Good. You doing good? Thing in life is going good? Things are going great. You connecting well? All right. Pray for me, man. Appreciate that. See? It just kind of works. I like it. How you guys doing? Good. Good time at church? Good stuff going on? Good weekend? Good stuff? Great. Great. Love to hear about it sometime. Thanks. And how about with those closest to us? Amy, San. Hey, babe. How you doing? It's Chris. Good. Good. Things are going well. Yeah, had a good time at church. Hope you learned something. Will you need anything for lunch? You want me to pick up anything? How are the girls? Girls doing good? I need to grab anything like that? Anything you want to tell me? Anything I need to know? I think we're doing really good. Great. I hope to see you later. Thanks,
babe.
Bye.
What's up?
Meaningful, wasn't it? It just doesn't work with people like that, does it? Just walking up. Hey, how you guys doing? Things going well? Family's doing good? Things are going great? Good. Good. Glad to hear it. Good talking with you. Yeah. Really felt like we connected? I don't think so. So if we don't do that in our regularly, everyday conversations and relationships, why do we pull that with God?
That guy was so rude. I know some of you, before I got to clarify this, because before we go, and you're going to be thinking about it all day long, and we did actually go by to most of those people and say, hey, here's what we're doing, so we didn't just try to blow you off. Most of those people we got in touch with. For the others, if you're here watching it, that's what we were doing, so I hope you understand. But you're probably at your new church by now, so. But isn't it amazing? We come to this time today where we're looking at a pattern of prayer. We've been doing these seven traits that you need to be an effective Christian. We look day one of biblical mindset. You got to be getting that into your life, whether it's through reading, whether it's through tapes, ministry, radio. Where are you getting God's word into your life and saying, okay, now I'm taking my daily decisions and saying, okay, God, what does your word say? And that's what I do. You got to have a biblical mindset. Last week, we looked at you got to have genuine accountability. You got to live in that glass house type scenario that we talked about with an open door to allow people in your lives and have those relationships so they can point out those things. And regardless of how it's said or done, to look for the truth in what they say. And okay, there's stuff I need to work at there. And then today we come to this one, a pattern of prayer. And I find it ironic, I'm the one talking on a pattern of prayer. Because I'm not good at prayer. And I'll just say that right off the top. Prayer is not something that comes easy to me. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, every morning I get up at 3:45 without the alarm. And I just wake up and put on my slippers and, God, this is your day. And after 3 hours in the Word and in prayer, I go and begin my ministry and my day. I'm not one of those guys. I became a pastor so the alarm can go off. I can get up, have lunch, and then start my afternoon. With that, then, prayer's always been difficult for me. I'm one of those guys that believes in prayer. I know prayer, but when you get to prayer as far as blocks of time, I'm just so keyed up. My mind just goes 1,000 miles an hour. It's hard for me to concentrate. Have you been there? Where I start praying, and it's, you know, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've given us. And I just get about halfway into it. Next thing I know, maybe 15, 20 seconds into prayer, I'm starting to think about my lineup in fantasy football and who did I start and who didn't I start. And they're going up against a weak defense, Cadillac Williams. I should put him in. He's a great rookie going. What was I doing? Oh, P.S. God, it's me again. I'm back. And prayer's tough for me that way. In group prayers, I'm one of those guys where other people, I'm just kind of peeking, seeing as I want three more people. It's my turn. All right. Got to have a good opening line. Got to have something that sounds holy in the midst of that. Where's that come? And it's like, what? Am I the only one? Probably not. There's some of you in here, and we're probably just in two crowds. There's some of you in here that we call prayer warriors. Not quite sure where we get that name from, but I love it. It's probably not a gift of prayer that you have as much as a gift of faith. But you're the ones that just say, man, I love that connecting with God and that talking and putting things out there and seeing God work. And that old saying, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. And some of you experience that and just know, man, I pray and God works and moves. Man, we need you. I applaud you. This church is based on people like you that understand that the value of prayer and how that works. I think there's another crowd of people a lot like me, though, who say, believe in prayer, like prayer, use prayer, but not quite in the way you might be going today. And if that's you, then hopefully today you'll walk out of here a little bit more relaxed and say, hey, maybe I'm not as bad off as I thought a half hour ago. Because I look into all my conversations and I realize I don't communicate with people that way either. I'm not one of those guys after dinner that likes to sit around with guests and just talk for an hour and just chit-chat. I'm one of those guys that after dinner, I'm like, why are you still sitting here? There's something to do. What do you want from me? You got Amway or something selling here? What are you guys talking about? No offense against Amway. It's just a fun... Ah. So, I'm losing people left and right. I'm one of those guys that doesn't do that. In my friendships I have, I'm not one of those guys that just wants to sit and just talk. Can we just sit and talk? Anytime someone's ever come up to me and say, hey, can we just sit and talk? I'm like, yeah. I know I'm supposed to say yeah, so yeah. But I'm not great at sitting and talking. I love my job because my job is people coming with situations and problems. I get to just listen and try to figure out and help and do, but not just to sit and talk. And so if I'm not that way in my regular relationships, why am I so frustrated I'm not that way with God? And on the other hand, though, if my prayers are like we just saw in that video, and we watch how it works out on the street, and in a comic way you realize, oh, that's not cool. Oh, that was rude. Then why do we do that with God? And the answer is, simply, well, he knows we take him for granted. And that's the answer. I start looking at my prayer habits, and they're simply usually before meals and before bed, and they're about the same type thing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for what you've given us, and just bless me today and my family, and give us what we need in your name, amen. Some relationship, wasn't it? The little illustration I had with Amy and talking to her before she's even picked up. But if you've ever felt like your prayers go no higher than the ceiling, if maybe you've abandoned prayer because it just doesn't work for you, if you've ever felt like you try to connect and talk with God and it just falls flat 10 seconds into it, then today I challenge you, maybe be open. Maybe there's a few things you're going to find out, keys to successful prayer and keys to just, well, how does this happen in your life that you might be able to apply this week? So first of all, though, we got to start off with the problem with prayer. I know you've already turned to Matthew, and a lot of your venues had you turn there. Keep a finger there because we're coming right back to it. But go to the right, Luke. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1, we're going to start with the problem with prayer. There's several stories like this throughout the Bible, and the one we're going to go back to in Matthew is, wow, it's much more rude than my little video clip. And maybe in getting to these, maybe there's a point. Maybe these aren't stories we should skip because they're just unpleasant. Maybe in that unpleasantness, we should stop there for a while and realize, okay, there's actually some hope in there. Luke 18, verse 1 starts like this. So then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Well, there seems to be a conflict there at first. He says, look, you got to always pray, always pray. Oh, but don't give up. Why would you give up? Because he knows it's going to be hard. He knows it's going to be difficult. I love the phrase he actually used there is don't lose heart. Man, this is going to be frustrating for some of you. So let me tell you a story of what it might be like for you. And he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Well, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'm going to see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. This is a story about prayer? I didn't get this in Sunday school. Boys and girls, watch, watch, listen, listen. When you pray, you bug God to death. You just keep bugging him, bugging him, bugging him, bugging him. And one day you're going to get to a point where you wear him out and he's going to say, enough! Give them what they want. And at first I read the story and I'm like, this it's not encouraging. I've given up on this a long time ago. Well, it's not quite the story because you got to finish the next few sentences here. So verse 6. So the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. So it softens a little, but I still don't like it. Jesus is saying, look, you got a God that is not an unjust judge. You got a God that you enter into his willingness, not his reluctance. But there's still that attitude of people praying day and night. There's still that attitude that just goes. It's okay, maybe you didn't get it there. Now we go to Matthew. Boy, if that one frustrated you, this one just blows the doors off a church. One book to the left. How about two books to the left? Matthew. This isn't that easy, folks. Here we go. Matthew 15:21. Matthew 15:21 is one of those stories I never heard growing up. Matthew, first book in the New Testament, if you're not there yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Matthew 15. It's one of those stories I never heard in Sunday school. It's one of those stories I never heard taught on a Sunday. It's one of those stories that I wasn't until I was in school and I was reading through this and I thought, what? No wonder why they didn't teach on it. No pastor ever got up on a day like today and said, now listen up, we want to tell you about an incredibly rude Jesus. Bring your friends next week. We'll talk to you about a disappointing God. No one talked about a rude Jesus. No one talked about a Jesus that racially profiled. No one talked about a Jesus that used racial slurs. And yet the story's there. Have I gotten your attention? Some of you are starting to read. Wait for us. Matthew 15:21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. I like the way it starts. Here we have a woman, maybe a widow, maybe she's just been left. She might be married. But in that day and age, a woman would never approach a rabbi like that. It was a husband's job. But we've talked before in that day and age, some 2,000 years ago, the way women were devalued in culture, especially women's children. So you can imagine a guy that finds out his wife has a baby girl, not just a baby girl, but a baby girl that's just plagued with something. It's called demon possession. We don't know if it was actually literally demon possession or in that culture, some sort of severe illness that just had her in maybe a paralysis state and maybe convulsions all the time. Oh, a huge embarrassment for her father. No wonder it's just a mom and a daughter. There doesn't seem to be a man in the picture. And she comes crying out, Lord, Son of David, my little girl. Boy, if anything can get to the heart of God, it's got to be a plea like this. If any story starts a great Jesus story, it's got to be a cry like this. It's not even about her. It's about her little girl. And watch the way the story goes. Verse 23, Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. This woman is following us, yelling the same stuff. We've been waiting for you to do something. It's obvious you're not going to do anything with her. Can you tell her to shut up and go back home? She is annoying us. Oh, isn't it amazing how the Christian community can act sometimes? Disciples, what are we thinking? Can you get rid of her? It's an embarrassment. It's a nuisance. Verse 24, so he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. It's not your time, woman. He's 50 miles Tyre outside of the Jewish territory. He's gone there for a time of rest and getting away from all the struggle that's happening in the nation. You're not supposed to cross those tracks. See, this woman's a Canaanite. She's from the wrong side of the street. Ethnically, she doesn't fit in. She is not even close to being a great Jewish woman. She is despised by that culture. And he lets her know, I've come for the sheep of Israel. I'm not here to work for you. And the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Now she's on her knees. Now she's begging and pleading. And he replies, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Ooh. Didn't get this one in Sunday school, did you? Never had this one on the little flannel graph board with the felt stickers. I haven't come for you, I've come for the Israelites. She falls, puts herself in front of him on her knees, please, and she begs. It is not right to give what belongs to the children to the dogs. Yeah, it was a racial slur that was used back there between Jews and Gentiles. Whoa. Whoa. There's a custom back then where you don't have napkins and paper towels that after dinner your hands are all greasy or whatever and you just take a piece of bread and you just wipe them on the piece of bread and crumple up and you throw it outside and these mangy mutts, these scoundrels that roam the town will just run up and just scoff off the bread. It's the waste. You're done. It's basically the garbage. And that's the picture he paints for her. Whew. Now remember, folks, talking to Jesus in a very real sense is talking to who? God. What do we call talking to God? Well, isn't this a fun story on prayer? Can't wait to try this at home. Ignore me, ignore me, ignore me. Feel like the community shunned me, send me away. Feel like it's not my time, you don't want anything to do with me. And then call me a dog. And look at her response. Yes, Lord, she said. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, what's that say about prayer? See, there's a problem when we come to prayer, and so let's just talk about it openly. And I don't know if I have all the answers for it. I don't know if I have any. But if you're following along in your notes, the first thing you got to write down, the problem with prayer is God wants us to be persistent. Over and over, whether it's talking about an unjust judge and the way we cry out day and night, whether it's talking about this woman, there seems to be a pattern that God wants us to be persistent. A couple verses you have down there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God. Ephesians 6 says, pray on all occasions. God wants us to have this attitude of being persistent when it comes to Him. Why? I'm not sure I know. Why does He treat the woman this way? Well, that's a tough one. I think somewhere he understands the moment that she calls out to him, this woman has a heart that's going to get to him. And even the barriers he's going to put in the way, she's going to break through. Maybe it was to show his disciples, hey, you're so caught up on who's right and who's wrong. You're so caught up on the names we use for different ethnicities, different socioeconomic classes. You've forgotten that I'm a God for all people. And I'll show you what culture says about this woman. And yet at the end, I'm going to show you what God does for this woman. Is the same thing he will do for all people. And maybe he's pushing faith. Maybe he wants a mom to learn to cry out over and over again because he's not going to be in that area for long. In fact, this is the only story we have from Jesus in that area. He knows he'll go back home and she'll be raising a daughter on her own. And that's a mom that needs faith and knows how to get in front of her Lord and knows a God that will give her what she needs. But aren't you frustrated that prayer doesn't come easy? We make it easy. Hey, you just pray and God's supposed to come through, but it doesn't work that way, and it doesn't seem like He's made it that way. In these stories, it's a God that brings out the fact that He wants to be pursued, a God that brings out a humility. He calls her a dog, and even the disciples have got to raise their eyebrows on this one. Woo. We should talk with her after the service. Let her know it's been a bad day. Jesus gets kind of cranky when he's outside the territory. You know, his own people want to kill him. It's just, you know, we're all bad days. Come on. He calls her a dog to get her to a place where she fully understands already, but to show his disciples her understanding that she gladly accepts that, yes, Lord, and yet even the dogs will eat the crumbs. I'm just asking for crumbs. How many times have we come to God demanding and asking because of who we are and what we've done, thinking God should just do it? Is that part of our prayer life? Well, I know it's part of mine sometimes. Prayer is a way for me to get God to do what I want Him to do. Boy, that's scary theology. Prayer for this woman was coming with the total understanding of, I can ask nothing, I gain nothing, God. You deserve to give me absolutely nothing, and I am simply a dog in your sight. And yet, even because of that, are there scraps? A humility that comes knowing your place when you stand face to face with God. Of God, it is simply grace and grace alone. I have no right to come before you. I have no right to have my voice be heard by the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. But God, you even allow some guy like me to speak with you is amazing. But some of us have been brought up in a church atmosphere where prayer is our way of just lassoing God and get Him to work for us. And we've made it something we do and not a presence we fall into. And this woman was very mindful of that. It's a persistency that keeps you going until you reach the character of God. Have you ever noticed that? Otherwise, it's like doorbell ditching. You ever play that game when you're little? Not that I did. But I had friends who would get together. And you know, you go up, you ring some guy's doorbell at night, and then you all run behind the bushes before, and you're gone by the time they answer. That's why I did the phone illustration. How many times, dear God, thank you for giving us, thank you for this day, thank you for this food and blessing to our bodies, amen. And sometimes I think God's just starting to pick up. Hey, do you, that work for you? Is that what the relationship was supposed to be about? It's a being persistent gets us more in the character of God. See, God doesn't pick up when He hears Dear Heavenly Father, and He doesn't hang up when He hears Amen. We think those are magic coin words. Dear Heavenly Father, and God's like, oop, someone's calling. Gotcha. And then when we're done, we can do the Amen. Click, and He's like, all right, back to running the everything. In our everyday communication and relationships, we know we don't talk like that with each other. Why do we bring it before God? See, the problem with prayer is that God demands us to be persistent. It's all throughout Scripture. I'm not quite sure why. Some possible ideas I threw out there. If you got better ones, email me. I'll make it my own next time I teach this. So now let's jump. Five keys to talking with Dad. Now that we got that out of the way, okay, here's some stories that are hard to deal with. Here's some stories that are just tough to wrestle with. Here's some stories about talking with Jesus, which is talking with God, which is prayer, and yet, boy, that's not the way we want it. I like we've talked about before in the Knowing God series, the Cosmic Coke Machine, where you can run up and just put your prayers in, pick what you want, run out. Woohoo! And God's like, you know what? I'm not going to make prayer easy. Prayer is not a way of controlling God. Prayer is not some great rule that's over God. God's all, no, prayer is a way to connect with me. And if I just give you and give you and give you whenever you ask, then you found a way to control me. And, well, I don't want a God that I can control. I want a God bigger than that. So how does it work? Number one, five keys to talking with Dad. You have to be on good terms. You have to be on good terms. Isn't that a no-brainer when it comes to relationships? Almost everyone here has got somebody in their life that they're probably not on great terms with. Maybe it's a boss, a supervisor, maybe it's a fellow coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a neighbor. And you ever have to have conversations with someone you're not in good terms with? Aren't those the most awkward conversations in the world? Here you go. Yeah, no, good, thanks. I got, must walk this way. It's like, it's just, I know we're not on good terms. It's, I don't want to, look, for, it's just best if you go that way, I go this way. Somehow we got prayer as this magic thing that we just throw out, and regardless of what we've done with God lately, He's supposed to just, you know, fulfill His end of the deal. And yet Scripture teaches us totally the contrary. A couple verses I threw down there, you might want to circle Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18 says this. David writes, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. David knows, look, if there's hidden sins, if there's areas of disobedience going on, God's not listening to prayer. Why would He? If you have a relationship that's broken and yet you're coming asking, you're pleading, it's like, why would I? The second one there, Proverbs 1:23-28. Proverbs 1:23-28 says this, talking about God's wisdom in our life. He says, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me, when I called, no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, and I will not answer. They will look for me, but I will not be found. Well, that's harsh. God says, look, you're saving me for times of disaster or calamity and thinking you just call out, and then you're frustrated that God's not in your situation, and God's all, you know why I'm not in your situation? Where have I been in your life? The first thing we got to understand is you got to be on good terms. You got to have that relationship with God. Now, look, I'm not saying you got to be perfect. God's not looking for our perfection. He simply wants our direction. Okay, I'm a guy that sins daily. You don't have to be a holy man or woman to be able to talk with God. But God's got to know that's a person that's seeking me. And that communication starts. But I talk with so many people who get in a situation, they pray about it. It seems like God's not listening, and it's one more reason they're angry at God. And I'll say, you know, time out. Don't look at the situation you're praying about. Look at your walk with Him the last 4, 5, 6 months leading up to that. He's been nowhere except for in the midst of your problems. Anybody got a relationship like that? Someone that only calls when stuff hit the fan and you're like, oh, I got a call. Boy, you see that name on the caller ID and you're like, ooh, let the answering machine get it. Don't pick that one up. Something must have gone wrong. A lot of us have people in our life where the only time they contact us is when things go wrong. How do you feel about that relationship? It's frustrating, isn't it, at times? It's a God that says, first of all, you got to be on good terms. Now, I understand this. We're going to get through these keys, but understand this is something that takes time, and you got to learn, just like any other relationship with anybody else. The more time you put into it, the better you get at it. Have you ever noticed those first relationships just are awkward talking-wise? I had that. I remember when I was pursuing Amy on a college campus. And I was sat on the balcony, and she's cutting my hair. And the first conversation, I'm sitting there going, don't be an idiot. Just say, you know, and the conversation's short, and it's like, oh, don't let her know what you're really like on the first night. And so, yeah. And they're awkward. When we first started dating, communication was awkward. I'd say stuff and then think, ooh, how'd she take that? Should I say something else? Should I just let it go? And I think she's okay. I think we're fine. I don't know. It's awkward. Prayer with God is awkward at first. It's tough enough to talk to someone you visibly see and talk to an unseen God. That's tough, people. Especially for some of us guys that aren't great at communicating anyway. Put me up in front of a crowd, I'll talk all day long. Some of you know that. Put me one-on-one, it's like, is there something we can watch? I'm better at watching than talking. And now do this with a God that it's like, can I open my eyes and see if you're there? Should they be closed? How's this work? The first thing to understand is, look, if you're pursuing a relationship with God, that door is open. Number one, you have to be on good terms. Number two, it can't always be about you. It can't always be about you. He said, Chris, what do you mean by that? Prayer isn't talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. Did you ever get that? You don't have communication with people that's one-sided. That's what the video is about. Me talking, going. There's no relationship there. Prayer is this understanding that, look, it's about spending time with God. And it's not just about me. It's got to be about God, and it's got to be about others. There's this three-way thing that happens in prayer. I put there Ephesians 6:18. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Secondly, James 4:3, when you ask, you don't receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. I love that. James says, you're asking and asking, it's all selfish motives. That's not the way prayer works. I've got two kids. If one daughter just always wants to be about her and her and not recognize there's other parts of the family, I have three kids. Did I just say two? I told you, I'm not good on those one-on-one things. I got two kids that talk and one that sits there and grows immensely as every week goes on. But he's just the cutest kid, but there's not a lot of conversation happening. I got two that I have conversation with. You know the main thing that we do as parents? Get along, share, get along. You know what blesses my heart? They got this thing they do where anytime Karis can't get up high enough, she's my youngest one, a little over two, anytime she can't get up high enough, the four-year-old always drops down on her hands and knees and Kara steps on her. And we go to Chuck E. Cheese, where you got to climb up those monster playpens, and then your kids get lost in those hamster tunnels for the next hour. Yeah, it's a good afternoon. But they got to get up there first, and they go up like different levels until they get high enough to get those tunnels. Well, Selah, my four-year-old, she can scramble up there. Kara can't pull herself up there. So every level, I don't know where they learned it, I don't know who taught it to them. Every level, Selah gets in and gets down. Kara steps on her and gets on the level. Selah jumps up, gets down. She steps on her and gets on the level. That is the coolest thing in my life right now. I'm like, yes. Even when it's used for wrong, for getting her on countertops or up into the cereal cabinet. I'm like, I'm bummed I got to discipline you, but high fives for the way you got up there. That's teamwork. As a dad, I want my kids to get along. I want my kids to share. I want my kids to bring it up. Well, you don't read any of Paul's letters without him talking over and over about the countless times I pray for you. We pray for you. We pray for you. We pray for you. See, so many times in my life, I look at my prayer and I'm like, boy, 80% of my prayer, it's just about me and what I need and what I want. And I think dad's concerned about, God, Chris, I love you, but what about my kids? Are you bringing my kids before me? And what about me? In your growth group homework, there's different steps. There's one on that, just that, hey, you got to connect with God. There are so many different things that just break that communication with God. And if you're looking at what are those things that stop prayer from happening, in your growth group homework this week, there's a whole list that you go through and just go, wow, never thought of that. Wow, never thought of that. Part two in your growth group homework is going through the Lord's Prayer. I love the way that starts. The disciples say, Jesus, can you teach us to pray? It is a learning experience, not something you get all at once. He goes, yeah, first of all, understand this, Abba. It's Dad, okay? Let that sink in. You're not coming to Creator, Holy, you know, it's Dad. Sure, He's Creator. Yes, He's Holy. Yes, He's God, but He's Dad. And then He talks about God. Hey, our Father which out in heaven, it's hallowed be Your name. Let's stop and remember, we bust into the throne room through this thing called prayer. I don't get it, people. I don't understand it. All I know is when I stepped over the line of faith and asked God to take control of my life, immediately I was adopted into His family. And because He is Dad and I'm His boy, I can walk in front of Him anytime I want and just say, Dad, and just lay it out there. Sometimes we've got to be a little cautious to remember who it is we're coming into the presence of. I am standing before the Creator God, and I'm so quick to talk about me. Where it can't just always be about you. It's got to be that time of coming and saying, God, oh, wow. God, I praise You and I thank You for this and this and this and who You are. And God, also, I'm mindful of what's happening in our country today and what's happening in different situations and what's happening with friends and family members. It's a time a dad wants to see you bend down and put others on your back and go, yeah, that's the way my kids work. That's what my kids do. I don't want a daughter to make the entire family about her. My job is to teach her and train her. We do this together, and nobody's needs gets above the others. We're going to do this together, and little do they know that in a family like that, they're going to thrive and survive so much better than if it ever was just about them. Not much difference with prayer, is it? Number one, you got to be on good terms. Number two, it can't always be about you. Number three, it has to be a two-way street. If you got a Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes. Might be a little bit harder to find, but we're going to camp out there a little bit. Ecclesiastes 5. You can go in the middle of your Bible. There's a great big book called Psalms. Psalms, then Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you're just kind of spelling it out there in your head. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5 has one of these things that, again, I didn't hear growing up in church. Ecclesiastes 5 has one of these passages that I stop and go, whoa, that's contrary to anything anybody ever taught me about prayer. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, 5 verse 1, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer a sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is the one in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Don't you love that? Anybody ever taught you to pray, hey, when you go to God, shh, don't say anything. What? That's awkward. The only thing more awkward to talking to God is sitting there and not talking to God. Ecclesiastes 5 says, hey, be careful when you go to God. Don't give a sacrifice of fools. Well, that sounds harsh. What does that mean? Don't be hasty. Don't be eager to utter all your words. Let me give you a hint. He's the one in heaven. You're the one on earth. How many times have we ever heard that prayer is listening, not talking? And even if cognitively we know that, how much of our prayer life is actually listening? Boy, 99% of my prayer life is talking, talking, talking. And I close with amen, conversation's over, hang up the phone, and I go about my day. And Ecclesiastes, written by the wisest man, says, no, you got to understand this. Five keys to talking with Dad, number three, it has to be a two-way street. It has to be a two-way street. It can't just be about you talking. The greatest goal in prayer is to be able to sit there before God and just understand and know, you know what, we got it. I connect. I call Amy at times, not to see what I need to bring or what I need to pick up, but just to make sure that, okay, we connected. She knows my day's done and what she's doing and we're good. And yeah, it's those simple things. Just those phone calls every day at the end when I'm on the road just to let her know, yeah, we're connected. So many times I think prayer for us is getting the right language out and the right words out and not really connecting. And Ecclesiastes says, you know what, there's got to be time in prayer where you're listening. Throughout your day where you're listening, where you're open to God speaking, whether that's through people, whether that's through His Word, whether that's through others in your life, through encouragement, whether that's through radio, whether that's through CDs, tapes, whether that's through just concentrating on the fact that I'm in the car with Him. And maybe not much is being said, but that communication is open. There's times where we take road trips, and all I know is Amy's in the car with me. No one's really saying anything, but I'm mindful of her presence and where she's at, and then if she needs to say anything or I need to say anything, boy, it's right there and it can happen. But sometimes nothing's said. It's just that openness to, I know where she's at, and I know we're together, and if anything needs to happen, there's room for it to happen. And Ecclesiastes says, when you come to God, when you go throughout your day, keep in mind you have a God that is there. He didn't leave you because you said amen after the breakfast thing. He is there. And be open to God. What do you want to show me today? Where is it you want to teach me today? What is it you want me to glimpse or walk away from? And whether that's through something internally you see or know or hear or through outside sources, God, I just want to go through life in such a way that I'm listening from you. You ever have a conversation with anybody or a friendship and they're always the one talking and you never get a word in? Isn't that frustrating? No wonder our prayer life is frustrating. It's me talking, 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 and I don't get answers. It's like, have you listened? What do you mean? Well, you want answers. Are you open to answers? What do you mean? I put my request there. But have you been open? See, it's a two-way street. I love that. Don't be quick with your mouth or hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are the one on earth. So let your words be few. Matthew 11:28 will say this. A famous verse. If you've been around church for years, you've probably heard it before. If you're new, listen to it because it's going to become a favorite. Matthew 11:28. It's there in your notes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Boy, does that sum up anybody in life today? Anybody weary and burdened? Whew. Come to me if you are, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You notice what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, look, if you're burdened, if you're weary, if you're worn out, if something's bugging you, just come and leave me a bunch of sentences. No. He says, come with me. Share with me. Take my yoke, the thing that would link oxen together, so it's no longer your power, but you're joined with another power. Share with me. Put that on. Learn from me. Where can we say we're learning in prayer if we're the only ones talking? See, people, what I'm trying to get across is prayer isn't the words we say before dinner or their sentences we link together before going to bed. If Paul says pray without ceasing, how does that happen? If Ephesians 6 says pray in the Spirit constantly, how does that happen? It's going through life with just that awareness that I am walking with God. Not that you're cognitive of that every second of the day, but I just know that I'm with God and God's with me. And if I need to throw something out, I can throw something out. And if He ever needs to teach me or show me something that I need to learn from Him, boy, I'm open to that. But if we hang up the phone and we say amen in the morning and the rest of our day is our day, then guess what? It's become your day and not His day. A pattern of prayer is when I can go through life understanding I am God's child. I am His son. I am a prince in the kingdom. Not because of anything I have done, but simply because I accepted Him into my life and He adopted me. And now I can go through life knowing that He cannot, will not ever take His eyes off of me. He will not ever take His thoughts off of me. He knows, as Psalms 139 says, when I stand and when I sit, when I lay down, every thought, every word. It's a life lived knowing God's with me. And if I ever need to connect to Him and throw out thoughts and prayers, I do that. I don't pray for long periods of time. I love throwing out thoughts throughout the day. I love before a phone call that might have some difficult issues. Pick it up, I start to dial, and I always hang it back up. And just quick, you know what, God? I don't know what's going to be on the other end of this. But give some great thoughts and words in this phone call. Pick it up and go. Walk into meetings, same thing. God, give me some wisdom to keep my mouth shut because I'm not great at that sometimes. Or if I need to speak, give me the wisdom to speak in. All right, let's go. I'm much better at thoughts, and I always was frustrated because I'm not disciplined enough in prayer. And I realized we all have different skills. We all have different communication languages. And God just says, how do you communicate the best? And where are you doing that with Him? Thoughts, prayers, words, ideas, great. 20, 30 minutes spent, man, phenomenal. If you're one of those people that like to sit after dinner and push all the plates away and just chat, talk to Him, not me. That's amazing. Good stuff. It takes me so long to concentrate on conversations and that because I go. I'm not going to get any dinner invites now. That's okay. So it has to be a two-way street. Number four, just come with what you have. Just come with what you have. In Matthew 6, verses 5 and 8, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. Or talking to the disciples, and he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward already. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and just pray to your dad, who is unseen. Then your father, who sees what is done in secret, he's going to reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they're going to be heard because of many words. Don't be like them, because your father knows what you need before you ask of Him. Just come with what you have. Share what's on your heart. I have a daughter this week, my littlest one, that prayed that she would go potty in the potty and not in her pull-ups. That was part of her prayer at the table. Well, of course, being a pastor, I set her straight. Karis, don't ever talk to the Creator, Lord, like that ever again. Bring to Him things that are holy and pure and of a right mind. And no. We sat there and I heard Amy kind of giggle and, you know, Sayla's looking up like, can she pray for the potty? I'm like, shh, let her pray. She needs that prayer answered. Let her pray. Sayla will pray for friends that we even left a year ago when we moved down there. She'll still pray for friends. She loves praying for friends. She'll come home from church and have new names and she'll pray for names we never heard of. And we thought, well, they must have come from a Sunday school class. She's 4. See, there's different stages for different ages. Don't feel like you've got to have some prayer language where you're talking and all of a sudden you pray,
dear Heavenly Father, blessed now this day, our journey, mercies.
What the heck is that? Who talks like that anymore? Don't have a great language, great words. Just come to God with what you have. As a dad, I love it when they talk to me about the most insane things, about bugs they found or a hole in the ground that they think leads somewhere. And I love that. I love them just coming with what they have and just putting it there and saying, okay, that's it. Wednesday morning, I was able to do some kayak fishing with JD, one of our pastors, and we're out there when the sun just rose, and man, we're paddling, and the fog came in, and then I couldn't see even where JD was or where the shoreline was, and I didn't care. It was just the coolest thing to be in this cloud on the still ocean on a kayak and just throw up thoughts. God, I got a great family. That's all you. God, I belong to an amazing church. That is all you. Oh, got a bite. Might have, got off. God, I have, and just little thoughts, things coming out. And I felt like Dad just saying, Chris, just share with me. Just bring what you have. Some of you have lists and rules, and that might be great. Some of you have different ways you pray through different acronyms. If that works for you, great. Some of you are struggling with, what do I say to God? Just say anything. Anything at all. Because He knows there's different stages for different ages of how long you've been a Christian, and just start. Just start. And lastly, your goal should be to connect with the one you're talking to, not to get what you want. Your goal should be to connect with the one you're talking to, not to get what you want. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips while your heart is far from me. You got great prayers. Your heart's not with me. I don't want my daughters to come to me with accurate sentences. I don't want my daughters coming to me with lists of what they need. I want my daughters coming to me just wanting to say, Dad, we just want to sit with you. You have a God that knows your situation and knows what you need. And a God that might want to bless you with those things, but a God that above and beyond that simply wants you. And our greatest goal in prayer is not to get what we want or life's direction, but to simply connect with Him. How many times have we started our prayer, "Dear God," with the goal in mind of, "I just want to connect with Your presence"? I use imagery a lot in my mind and just picture myself, and that's why the fog helped on Wednesday, just in this cloud and God in heaven and just like, yeah, can I just share some stuff? And that's what He wants from me. Why? Because I'm special. Because I'm His kid. And the majority of you are too. And prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. And there's got to be times of bringing up others and listening. There's got to be that time of just connecting. There's got to be that time of going away saying, "Woohoo, I got my whole list checked off." But going away going, "Woohoo, I really felt like I was with God there. And I think He's big enough to take care of the rest." Prayer. Henry J. M. Nouwen says, "The crisis of our prayer life is that our minds may be filled with the ideas of God while our hearts remain far from Him." Don't you like that? The crisis of our prayer life is that our minds may be filled with the ideas of God, but our hearts are nowhere near. I don't want a relationship with anyone who's just interested in talking about themselves and what they get from me. But someone that wants to spend time with me and love my family, I'm open to that. Anything I can offer, boy, I'll give it. Why do we treat God differently? If you haven't started it, daily, what's it work for you? A time set aside, a place set up, thoughts thrown out, just an attitude daily of, "God, I'm just going to throw this out, and this phone call, and this thing." A pattern of prayer. Where's that relationship happening? I hope it's not just the weekends in your life. And if it is, tomorrow's the day to start. Say, "God, I'm going to start praying. This is awkward." And He knows it. So, Dad, thanks that You know we are all made differently, we all think differently, and we all converse differently, and yet, God, You want each and every one of us. So continue to show us how to build this into our daily walk. Time spent sharing with You, time spent just being and listening for You, time spent seeking You. And God, You ask for us to do this without ceasing. A relationship where we walk with You in the midst of all of our agendas and business, still being mindful that You're there, and that any thoughts, words, ideas can be shared back and forth. God, may that be a part of this new week. In Your name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's study from God's Word. For more information, or if you'd like additional copies, please contact us at area code 760-724-6700. Our mailing address is North Coast Church, 1132 North Melrose Drive, Vista, California, 92083. Or visit our website at www.northcoastchurch.com. God bless you and thanks for listening.